This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, save the last dance for language. Coming up in the next episode are your stories of your name changes. I'm very excited about that. Coming up in this episode, a name change that took decades of wrangling. On with the show.
I had a daughter in 92. She was named Camilla after her grandmother, and it was Camilla with a C, spelled with a C. So when I got the confirmation note from the National Registry, like when they tell you that your child has been named something in the registry, they had spelled her name with a K. It's confirmed that the child, Camilla Jónsdóttir, blah, blah, blah. And I called them, and because it was spelled with a C, and I just wanted to tell them it was a misunderstanding. My daughter's name is spelled with a C. And she said, yeah, wait. And I waited on the line. And then she came back and she said, no, it's no misunderstanding. C has been banned in the Icelandic alphabet.
C has been banned.
C was banned, yeah.
That's inconvenient.
So she is still Camilla with a K. And this really infuriated me. I was really upset with this. And I started reading up on following news about the issues here in Iceland with the names.
Because in Iceland, there are laws governing what names you can be called.
My name is Jónknar. I'm Icelandic. I was born in Iceland in 1967, and I've lived here for the most part of my life. I'm a comedian and writer, and I also was the mayor of Reykjavik for one term of 4 years, 2010 to 2014, on behalf of the Best Party, which was a political party I came up with and my platform into politics.
And as you'll hear shortly, he's had another pretty big run-in with Iceland's naming laws.
Naming is controlling in a way. If you rule the names, you have a lot of power through that. And this has caused a lot of harm and pain to people.
Iceland is not the only place to have laws about names. Many countries have them. Usually, the laws state that a name must not be embarrassing for the bearer, and it should work in the local writing system, and often also that it should not contain characters that wouldn't be machine-readable on a passport. But then some countries get more exacting. For instance, in Germany, a child's name must be clearly male or female, and also must not be an object or a brand. Portugal has a 40-page list of approved names and a longer list of banned names. Malaysia, you can't name a child a fruit, vegetable, colour, animal or insect. In Britain, you can go with pretty much anything, as long as it's not an obscenity or starting with a number. Iceland's naming laws are notoriously strict. Names must be spelled with the letters of the Icelandic alphabet. It must work with Icelandic grammar. It must not cause the bearer embarrassment. A first name must be male or female and match the bearer's gender accordingly. Yes, this is a binary gendered system. The name must be on the personal names register, on which there are around 2,000 approved names for each gender. But if you want to name your baby or yourself a name that is not on that register, you have to send an application to the Icelandic Naming Committee.
Helen is okay. Saltzman, if you don't have any grandmother or grandfather called Saltzman in Iceland, then it could be a little bit difficult. Sita, in your name, the Saltzman, actually two Sitas you have in your name. It's not in the Icelandic alphabet. It's not used in orthography. My name is Sigurður Konráðsson, and I'm a professor in Icelandic at the University of Iceland, and also a foreman for the name committee in Iceland.
What do you enjoy most about being on the committee?
Talking about personal names. It's a very interesting theme.
Sure is. Each year, the Icelandic Naming Committee receives around 100 to 150 applications for names, and the three members of the committee meet for 3 or 4 days a month to decide whether to allow deviation from Iceland's naming laws.
The spirit of the laws is to preserve the old tradition of Icelandic name system. You first have your name, your personal name, in your case, Helen. And after that, the main rule is to use your father or mother's name, adding son, in your case, daughter, to your father or mother's name. When your father is called Páll, you would be Páll's dóttir, and your brother would be Páll's son. This is the main rule.
A patronymic, or matronymic if it's derived from your mother's name, which is legal, but rare. Family names, surnames, have never been standard in Iceland. The traditional Nordic naming system was first name and patronymic. Then in the 19th century, some people in Iceland did start to use family names, which were even something of a status symbol for a little while.
Back in the days when we were still part of the Danish colony before World War II, the Danish ruling class here had like family names. So if you had a family name, it meant that you were either from a wealthy family or that you were educated. Because people who were educated, they went to Copenhagen to study, and then it was custom to take up like a family name so that everybody would know that you were educated.
In 1913, the Icelandic government legalized family names, but not for long. In 1925, they banned them, as family names were not considered authentically Icelandic. The small proportion of the population who had family names prior to the ban were allowed to keep them, but from then on, Icelanders were only allowed the patronymic last names. When you think about it, it's quite a small pool of names if your first name is picked from a fairly short list, and your last name is also derived from a name on that fairly short list. The phone book is alphabeticized by first names. The naming committee approves the majority of applications, but they have rejected names such as Cleopatra, Viking, Toby, and Jennifer. Are they angry with you ever?
No, it's sometimes maybe, but it's not so very. We try to explain everything in a letter to the applicant, and we explain it and refer to the laws and to our rules, and most of the people are understand this. You know, we are not a committee who decides what to do. That's the government, you know, Alþingi. They make the law.
And the committee enforces it. The overall objective is to protect and preserve Icelandic culture and language.
Iceland has been very isolated for a very, very long time, geographically and culturally also. So it's almost can feel like you're on another planet. You're not really on Earth anymore when you're here. And so we tend to be suspicious of things that come from afar. So it's a tendency to overprotect our cultural heritage in a way. Like, you know, when I was growing up and television was being introduced, people were really suspicious of it. Like, we cannot have Americanization, like, through television, corrupting our Icelandic culture and so on. And with books, like with cartoons, I remember when I was growing up, discussions about, you know, if Donald Duck was dangerous for children to read Donald Duck. Like, so foreign. And I mean, you would assume Iceland and Icelandic culture was very creative, like vibrant with creative energy. In a sense it is, and in another sense it's not. And it's still when the naming laws are being criticized and there is debates about something, and And usually this occurs after there's an incident with some name, and somebody from the naming committee or officials linked to the naming committee will say, well, we have the naming committee to protect us from bad names. And do we want every other person here to be called a son of Satan or Hitler? And people will say, no, of course not. Nay, exactly. That's why we have the naming committee, because these are the names that people really want to name their children. I mean, they will say, well, there was this woman in the US who named her child hand sanitizer. Is that something that we want to do here in Iceland? It's like, no, of course. No, exactly. That's why we have a naming committee. It's like,
there's a midway point. I live in Britain where you can call a child pretty much anything, and I've never met a hand sanitizer or a Hitler. The naming committee was only formed in 1991, but it's not like before then there were people being named hand sanitizer. Iceland already had naming laws.
The law was like just like a traffic law. It didn't need a committee because it was all clear. It was all written down and was mostly like bans. And that's always been in our culture and also in many other cultures, this tendency to solve problem with a ban.
Before the naming committee was instituted, the Icelandic naming rules were pretty clear and uncompromising. Everyone had to have the first name that was on the approved list, the last name that was patronymic, and if you came from abroad and didn't have a name that was Icelandic or easily converted into Icelandic, you had to change it to one.
And I remember when the first group of refugees came to Iceland, they were handed new passports at the airport when they arrived with Icelandic names that had been picked out for them.
So they had no idea of their own names?
No. They couldn't even pronounce their own names. People who immigrated to Iceland from somewhere else, they were forced, when they applied for citizenship, if they wanted to apply for citizenship, they were forced to abandon their names and take up an Icelandic sounding name. So it was a condition. If you wanted to apply for citizenship, you had to give up your name. And it was just horrible.
But in 1996, the laws were changed so that immigrants to Iceland are now allowed to keep their names.
It was a violation of human rights to force people to abandon their names and take up another name just because they were applying for citizenship. They couldn't do it anymore. So there was a slight change in the naming laws. Icelandic people who were not born in Iceland were no longer forced to change their names. They can keep their names. So now we have a twofold naming system. One that applies to people who are born here in Iceland, and a different system that applies to people who moved to Iceland from somewhere else.
So if you are not born in Iceland, you can have a family name. You can have a name that's not compatible with Icelandic grammar, that isn't on the approved lists of names. However, if you were born in Iceland, you still have to obey the naming laws.
But the law is just so unfair, and with immigration, it starts to discriminate against, first against immigrants, and when they cannot discriminate against immigrants, they discriminate against non-immigrants. It makes absolutely no sense.
Now, you might be thinking, even if you were born in Iceland, you can use whatever name you want in your everyday life, so why does it matter what your official name is? Well, so that you can have your name on your passport. You're legally recognised. You have your full rights as a citizen.
I mean, it's not just emotional, it's also social and financial.
So you're effectively not fully recognised as a person unless your name abides by the laws.
Yes. And this is what they use here and have used. It's like they force you because you are denied stuff.
Take the 2012 case of a teenager who, from birth, had been called Blair, after a female character in a novel. Everyone knew her as Blair, had always known her as Blair, but her legal first name was Stúlka, the Icelandic word for girl, because Blair was not on the list of approved female names.
Blair, as a name through history, has been masculine and feminine in different periods of, so in the Middle Ages it was masculine, and then later on it became a feminine name, and then masculine again or something, and she was named Blair, but it was rejected on the grounds that it was a boy's name. So she was just called, in the registry, she was called Girl. Girl. They didn't approve of her name, so she was, and her parents were obligated to come up with a new name for her, and they didn't do that because they stood their ground and said, just, you know, this is her name. So she was Girl.
Her family ended up going to court to fight for her legal name to be Blair. They had to prove that there was precedent for Blair being a female name. It had actually only been registered as masculine since 1998, and therefore that if this Blair was legally called Blair, it would not damage the Icelandic language. Eventually, the judge overturned the naming committee's decision, allowing Blair to be legally called Blair. But contesting the naming committee is difficult, and success is hard won. Though Blair succeeded, a female Alex did not. And then there's the case of Jon Gnarr here. It's his legal name now, but it took enough time to get it.
Well, it was 25 years.
When he was born, he was named Jon Gunnar Christensen.
When I was about 13 or 14, I invented a name for myself, which was Gnarr. And in the beginning, it was just short for Gunnar. It was artsy, it was trying to be poetic. You know, I wanted to have like a writer's name. I wanted to become a writer when I would grow up. So I wanted to have a writer's name and call myself Gnarr. And it sounded unusual. And I just liked it. And I started calling myself from like when I was 13, 14. I started writing poetry. And I would always sign my poems as Jon Gnarr. It was like the poet me. And it grew on me, and it became, with time, it became my identity. It became my name. Your name becomes part of you and your identity. So it has emotional attachments to it. And Gnarr became my name, just with time. And it was just part of what was me, I guess.
Were you also the only Gnarr in Iceland ever?
Yes, probably in the whole world, because it was something that I invented. It was something that I had created, and it was unique. It was and it was something people found interesting, and usually more interesting than being Christensen. So it wasn't just cool, it was also interesting and creative and unique, and I was really, really proud of it.
When did you decide to legally change it?
I had probably reached the age of 20 when it first occurred to me that I could, you know, apply for a name change, and that's when I learned about the strict naming laws here in Iceland. And surnames are basically banned. Family names are banned. Any foreign names at the time were also banned. And, of course, any creativity is banned. Like, you cannot come up with a nonsense name that doesn't exist. It's absolutely banned. So, you know, I was applying to be called Jon Gnarr, but in my passport, I was Jon G. Christensen. And I don't approve of this system. I find it insufficient and complicated, and it's not of any importance, in my opinion. So when I am traveling, and I've had problems traveling abroad because border control in different countries is not familiar with the Icelandic naming traditions. And I was held at an airport in the US, in Logan International in Boston. I was held there for a whole day because border control didn't understand why I was Christensen and the two girls I was traveling with did not have my name, because they were both Jan's daughter and I was Christensen. And I said, you know, they are my daughters, and they just didn't believe it. So they held me there. And as an Icelander, when you're traveling with your family, you all have different last names. Like, I have one last name, my wife has another, and our children have completely different last names. So it can create complications when you're traveling and misunderstandings.
Every couple of years or so, Jan would apply to change his name legally to Jan Gnar.
And it was always rejected, but I would do it regularly. And sometimes I would get somebody with legal expertise, like lawyer friend or somebody who wanted to help me and write a letter or something, or I would find some loophole in the law, like my friend who he was born here in Iceland, but his parents are from Poland. They moved to Iceland from Poland, and he has foreign name and he has a family name. I would apply on that ground, like, why can he have a name that isn't, you know, on your list, but I cannot.
Jan's arguments didn't work, though. Eventually what worked was going 4,000 miles away.
I lived in Houston, Texas for a year after my term as mayor. I was invited there by Rice University, and I was on a residency. And while I was there, I applied for a name change. A petition for a name change, and as a residence, because if you live there for longer than 3 months, you're considered a residence. I had the right to apply, and the judge showed no objection to granting me the name change. So I legally changed my name there, and when I came back to Iceland, I went to the National Registry with my papers and or announced my name change, and they rejected it. And at first they rejected it, but then they cannot do it. They just couldn't do it because it was a legal name change, and so they had to accept it. And so my name became Jan Gnar, and my children are also Gnar. Gnar is now officially an Icelandic family name, and my children are allowed to be Gnar, and my children's children, but not my wife. So a spouse of somebody who has a family name cannot take up the family name. That's one of the regulations.
And after 25 years, when you finally got your legal name, how did you feel?
It was like a very big relief. I was very, like, really emotional, and everybody in my family was really emotional, and we would cry. And then I think I slept for 48 hours or something, and I was, of course, extremely proud to have my name, because I felt it was my name. You know, it was not the name given to me, but it was my name. So I was just extremely happy to have that confirmed and relieved.
The naming laws do attract quite a bit of criticism. People are dissatisfied with the different laws if you're born in Iceland or elsewhere, and the ban on family names, and the gendering of all the names, and the difficulty it presents for non-binary and trans people. In recent years, the government has considered bills to curtail the naming committee's powers, or abolish it altogether. But so far, the committee continues, and Jan Gnar helps people get around it.
I advise people on loopholes, because I know all the loopholes. So people will write me and they will ask me, like, we had a baby last week and we want to name it Snow Owl Freedom. And we know it's absolutely banned in Iceland. How can we name our daughter Snow Owl Freedom? And I will tell them, go to Denmark. You can register into the country And you can do that in a day. Then you become a resident of Denmark and then go into the nearest church and bring the baby with you and tell them you want to baptize it there and you want to baptize it Snow Owl Freedom, and they don't have a problem with that in Denmark. So you can name your daughter Snow Owl Freedom, and then you just go to your hotel room and rest for the night and then go back the day after and say, oh, we... On second thoughts, we don't want to stay in Denmark. We want to go back to Iceland. So you unregister, and it doesn't cost you anything because it's like some agreement between Iceland and Denmark because we were their colony for such a long time. And then you go back to Iceland, and it, you know, you can do it in 2 days. And then you go with the papers from Denmark to the National Registry here, and you tell them, yeah, so daughter, Snow Owl Freedom. Oh, and they cannot do anything. Because it's already processed in Denmark. So it's easy to bypass. And that's what I encourage people, instead of wasting time and energy on trying to fight it here, you know, just take the fight somewhere else, do it somewhere else, because they cannot do anything about it. So that's how I advise people to solve this problem, because they are never going to give up because they are, you know, they get paid for it.
Would you like any of the laws to be different?
Yes, I would like to. I would like the laws to be more... We have to review those laws. And we have talked about it for many, many years, that we have to sit down and think how we should have this. But, you know, some people on the Althingi are trying to put through new laws, but they are not so good. They make difficulties, but not lose the problems.
So what would you prefer to happen?
I would like to actually have the laws a little bit simpler than they are now, but the spirit in the law should be the same as it is, as it was 25, 30 years ago when they were accepted in the Althingi. And so we don't have to change the main line in the laws, but we have to make them a little bit more clear. And we are now living in a multicultural society, and we have to think about that and put it into the laws.
Yeah, just get rid of the law, and they cannot have a strict naming law here in Iceland anymore. They cannot do it with immigration and with people from all around the world moving to here, and like with globalization, they cannot do it. It's impossible, and they should just give it up.
Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is Inselberg, noun, geology, an isolated hill rising abruptly from a plain. Try using it in an email today. This episode of The Allusionist was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with music by Martin Austwick, with help from Reger Hulk, John Hatler Stephenson, Sarah Geis, Halla Thorlag, and Chris Berube. Many thanks to Hjon Knarr and Sigurdur Konradsson for speaking to me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, search for Allusionist Show, and find every episode and the full dictionary entry for the randomly selected words of the day, transcripts, and additional reading matter about every topic at the show's forever home, theallusionist.org.